Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining us for a new episode of Have Disability, Will Travel, a podcast from the Accessible Travel Forum. Every episode, we journey around the world to chat with movers and shakers in the accessible tourism industry, as well as those who just love to travel and won't let their disability get in the way of enjoying their adventures around the globe. My name is Josh, your host who is definitely not a broadcaster, but wants to get people talking about accessible travel. I'm happy to have you come along with me on this journey. So grab your passport and let's get going. This episode, we talk with Elizabeth Graham from Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. Elizabeth is the director of Heartland Forest Nature Experience in Niagara Falls, which is a unique natural attraction with a passion for accessibility, active living, and environmental stewardship. We chat about everything from traveling with her son who has autism to an accessible treehouse and mini putt. Well, let's jump right into it. Okay, so we're talking with Elizabeth Graham. How are you doing today, Ms. Graham?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, well, actually, we'll have to tell the audience, we go back quite a ways, don't we?
We do, actually. I didn't think about that. But it's been, I'm sure, well, over 20 years, 25 years, maybe. Yeah.
Too long.
Yeah.
I was saying that number that I think, oh, no, that, I don't want to say that. But
I know, actually, now I've just given away your age a little bit.
I know. Everybody is, you know, going to be disappointed now. So, yeah, we actually were in the same town, Uxbridge, Ontario, for a long time. And you were my mother's boss for a while, I believe.
Well, she started as my mentor, and I will forever treasure those memories of the times when our family was with a special needs child and just how she just came alongside me, and I'm very grateful for that. But then, yeah, then we were part of a charitable organization together and got the privilege of working together, so that was great.
Okay. So, and what was the name of that organization?
That was Precious Minds, and so I guess maybe I should step back and say a little bit about our family, because that's how Precious Minds began, was because of our family. But so my husband and I have three children. Mm-hmm. Our oldest is married, and we have a beautiful little grandson, Maxon. Oh,
congratulations.
And then we have two boys. So Zach's 25 and Jacob's 19. And it was Zach that really changed the direction of our life. He was diagnosed at an early age with classic autism. It has, it impacts every part of our existence, I would guess. That's a fair thing to say.
Yeah. So classic autism, is that different than another type of autism, or how is
well,
that in the spectrum?
Well, the autism spectrum is just so broad. And so that's a term that I would say a lot of us lay people are using now to just... It's what you might have thought of as autism in years past. So, doing stimulatory behaviors, the lack of social interaction and play skills, along with intellectual and developmental disability. So
Okay. And then Precious Minds was sort of came out of that then.
It did. There was four of us women, and one in particular, her name's Sharon Simmons, still a very treasured friend, and she saw what our family was going through. This was back in 1999, so Zach was, I think, just seven at the time, and she saw that with just the struggle we were in terms of networking, the financial impact on a family, and just how to engage with the services that it's overwhelming to a family when you're dealing with the diagnosis and then also with the daily stress of having a special needs child there. She saw that, and she gathered four of us together, and that's where Precious Minds was. It came to be, and Uxbridge is more of a rural town, right, in Ontario, in Canada, and so there was there was really a lack of resources there. So that's how it started. And we, I'm actually thrilled 20 years later that it is thriving. It's the mission has changed slightly over that time. In the beginning, it was really looking at all barriers to learning. So whether it was physical, intellectual, behavioral, social, mental health, now it's very focused on developmental challenges and having those going through in the transitioning to adulthood. But it's thriving, and that's exciting for me.
Well, that's exciting, and so that you're not involved at the moment because you've moved to a different location. That's correct.
We did. At the 10-year mark, our family relocated to Niagara Falls area, which is one of those tourist places that I think most people know worldwide. Cool. So we left Precious Minds and left the area to start a new adventure there in Niagara Falls.
Okay. Well, we'll jump back to that in a minute.
Sure.
This podcast is mostly about travel. I thought, you know, it'd be interesting to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the travels you went on with Zach over the years.
Yeah. You know, every disability or challenge mm-hmm. is unique. So clearly, traveling with an individual with autism would have, there would be some aspects of that wouldn't be something that others might struggle, you know, like some that might struggle with. But right. for us, Zach loves to go on a vacation. So he loves to be in the car. Okay. We've traveled all over North America with him. We made one attempt at a flight, going on an airplane.
Oh, okay.
And so he has been to Mexico, and it was not a good experience.
Oh, no.
But I've talked to other families, and actually even leading up to it, their children loved the experience there of being on the plane. And I think there's lots of families and adults living with autism that enjoy airplane travel.
Right.
But for Zach, that was not for him. So we made it through that experience
right.
and had and actually our hearts were warmed by the compassion that was expressed to us by not only the flight crew, but also by the other passengers that helped us get through that. But since then, Zach was about 10 at the time.
Right.
We've now just stayed to being on traveling by car.
Right, right. Well, that's good. I mean, it was a bad experience, but there's sort of good coming from that when you got to feel the warmth of the other's hearts and stuff, right?
Oh, it was incredible. And I hope that can be maybe an encouragement to others out there. We had, there was 17 of us in our family that were traveling, and it was a special anniversary for my parents.
Oh, wow.
And we had people on the plane rearranging, like letting us sit together so that we'd have more family support around us with Zach. Mm. So it was really, it was actually, you know, when you look back on it, that's the thing we remember.
Okay. So do you have any sort of tips for people who have family members with autism or maybe have autism themselves for preparing for a trip, going somewhere new or?
Well, for everything and travel in particular, I'm a really big fan of social stories. So we just create our own. I often use pictures. I'll do research for where we're going in advance and take some pictures and do a little, almost like a little photo album so that we talk about the trip before we go. And then we take more pictures and we sort of round out that album. And so Zach has memory after that we can talk about.
Right.
And that's been very successful for us.
So you take pictures also for before you go as to like,
I do.
We're going?
Yeah, just so I think the more information he has, the better it is for him to transition into,
right.
Into that place. So that's worked. A lot of people don't, I use pictures, with words, but you can, for a lot of individuals using a social story, it's just words that they read aloud, you know, and just talk about what they're going to be encountering and where they're going. And that's been really great.
Okay, good. What's maybe Zach's favorite place that he's visited?
Oh, you know, I have an older sister that lives down in North Carolina, okay. On the Outer Beaches, and we go there every year. And that is I think for Zach, he knows the special things that are there that he loves to do, a specific restaurant. And so that would be, I think, given the choice, he would be wanting to go to Auntie Nan's if he had a choice.
Okay, good. Well, I think we'll have to have a special round table discussion on autism and travel at some time, and I hope that you'll join
us. No, that would be great. It would actually be, there's a new movement now, and there's a town out in, I think it's out on the East Coast, that now has they're calling themselves an autism-friendly environment. So there's signs that they have in different restaurants and in places that says autism-friendly. And that's a new movement. I know we had a restaurant that just opened in Niagara Falls that has that sign in its window. And I think that would be a you know, neat thing to talk about, how there's a greater community is really kind of starting to get it.
Oh, wow, that's great. Okay, we'll have to tell me about that afterwards, and we'll find a link for that then.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, so now you've moved to Niagara, and I think most people only know about the falls, but and now you just heard me cough a couple seconds ago, and that's because I'm enjoying a glass of wine, and it took a little bit too much at one time. And of course, Niagara is also famous for wine. So,
yes.
Could you tell some of our international listeners about the great Niagara region, what it has to offer, and why they should visit?
Well, you know what? There is the sort of the more commercial aspect of Niagara Falls with the falls, and it's just spectacular. There's a lot of activities and if you're into adventure sports or just as a family and to do some activities, it's a fantastic place to go. But it also has these wonderful other communities. There's Niagara on the Lake, which is actually where we live, which is just really 10 minutes away from Niagara Falls. But there's the vineyards and like if you want to do any trekking, the trail system, there's so much to offer in Niagara.
Okay, and one of those parts, I guess, is, as you mentioned, the hiking, and so the nature that's available there. So you are currently working as the executive director, is that right, of Heartland?
At Heartland Forest. Yeah. When we moved to Niagara, I kind of wondered what my next adventure was going to be, because my heart is for disability and working with families. And Zach actually went on a little field trip through with an autism group, and they went to Heartland Forest, and I was so excited to meet the founder, Dan Bauman, and learn a little bit about what he had a grandchild with a severe disability who has since passed away, but he just wanted to have this peaceful place that was accessible for all. Mm-hmm. So we have about 200 acres, and we have probably about 8 to 10 kilometers of trails. Most of them are easy access, so anyone in a scooter, wheelchair, walker pushing a stroller can enjoy nature. Okay. We have a treehouse that's got a 110-foot ramp.
A treehouse.
It's like this big cabin all up on stilts. Okay. And we have a merry-go-round and a swing that are all accessible, and a mini putt that was designed in coordination with Special Olympics. So there's just been a lot of thought put into everything that's happening at Heartland Forest. Okay. In terms of making that nature accessible for all.
Right. Is the focus of facility, is it specifically for people with disabilities, or is it that it's a place for everybody, but it just happens to be?
It's a place for everybody, and that's all ages, all abilities, and that's our motto. So we are really a favorite community resource. It's free. The park's open. You can come in and just go for a walk on the trails and enjoy, do a mini putt and enjoy the facilities. We have probably 25 to 30,000 people that come through our gates annually. Oh, and wow. But that's the special part is that it's for everybody. So there's no one that's excluded.
So, and It's free, you said. So how is it sustained then throughout the year?
Well, we're a registered charitable organization. Oh. So that means that if we have nice little stations out that say we'd love a donation. So if you come through, you can, you know, put a little donation in to help us. And we write a lot of grants and just have an incredible community support through fundraisers to just to be able to. And it's not just about keeping it just as a place where people can come to visit. We have really exciting programs that we offer. We have inclusive summer. We have inclusive summer camps. We do educational sessions for schools. We have a work experience program. So a lot of young adults, when they finish high school, if they have an intellectual or developmental disability, there's really not a lot for them. And so there's an opportunity for them to come free of charge to Heartland and just learn maybe how to be an awesome volunteer or be able to get to employment skills so that they'd be able to transition into a workplace somewhere.
Yeah, and a wood shop or something?
Yeah, that's my favorite thing that we have at Heartland. Okay. We have this woodworking shop. We have an amazing shop supervisor. He's a retired school teacher, and he's just throughout his career, he had a passion for just wanting anyone to be able to learn woodworking despite any disability that they might have. So he brought that to Heartland. We do a lot of one-on-one rehab with individuals that have acquired brain injury through a motor vehicle accident. We have a Wednesday afternoon shop club for individuals with autism, and we have a lot of retirees that they've had to maybe give up their home and their shop, and they're living in a condo or an apartment now, and so they come and give back their time and help us with our different programs. And of course, they build most of the things that are on site. So
designed the accessibility for the
they do that. So it's very practical for Heartland on every level.
Right. Well, so it's a truly sustainable place, then, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah.
Do you get a lot of foreign visitors as well, or mostly local?
We do. Well, that's something that we're really wanting to build on. Is to so right now, you know, we have our little flyers and brochures in the tourist information booths throughout Niagara Falls, but we're really gonna work on that and just let because I think it's an opportunity for families, especially when they're traveling with somebody that may have some accessibility, barriers. There's a place that they can go. First of all, that's not going to cost them an arm and a leg to come into, and then just to experience some of that Niagara nature. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I live in Tokyo now, of course, and there's not much nature around to find. So sometimes I do find myself wanting to go out to some place with woods or whatever, but there aren't really, any accessible opportunities out here. So yeah, next time I'm back in Canada, I'll definitely have to drop by.
Oh, you bet it. You bet you will.
I can be your foreign visitor.
Yeah.
how do you get to the camp from Niagara-on-the-Lake then? Niagara-on-the-Lake.
Well, we're actually just about, we're right in the outskirts of Niagara Falls, like the city of Niagara Falls. Right. So it's very accessible, just right off, literally there's a main highway that goes through Niagara Falls, and we're 5 minutes off that highway. So it's very easy to find. You can Google it and just heartlandforest.org is our website. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. So I encourage people to take a look because I think they'll be surprised and want to add it to their bucket list.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think it's important when you're looking at accessible travel. I think everybody thinks of travel, they look at the, the top spots on TripAdvisor, or, some old buildings or something like that. But I think going and visiting nature, especially some unique nature like that we have in Canada, is a very important place to, grow as well and just to enjoy nature and get out. Yeah, for sure. Great. Okay, well, I'll put the link to the website then on the show notes. Just a couple of wrap-up questions I like to ask everybody. First of all, is sort of a bit of a deep one, but you don't have to go deep if you don't want to. What do you feel that travel or visiting new places means to you or to people in general, and why is it important?
Well, there's I heard a quote a while ago, and it stuck with me. And it was it said something like that the destination is not about the place, but it's about a new way of seeing things. And I really like that. And I especially like that when I'm traveling with Zach, because he, for all of our family and our extended family, he helps us see everything in a new light when we are with him.
Right. Well, that's I like that. I'll have to keep that in mind. Okay. For your, this is a bit less intense question now. For your, on your bucket list for three places to visit, where would you like to go?
Oh, family? Well, we have, I have a two places that would not necessarily be as a family because Zach can't go there.
Okay, well, everybody but, needs a break too, yeah, so yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, that's like, and I, last year I had the privilege of going on a trip with my mom, who's in her 80s.
Okay, well,
and, okay. And we went to Barcelona, and I am dying to bring my husband back there. I loved it. It was a great trip. Okay. And then, but as a family, a long time ago, we, when Zach was just a little guy, we went out to the Eastern Canada, to the Maritime Provinces, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, Nova Scotia, and we want to go back there. I tell you, Canada is right from coast to coast. You get everything. Yeah. And, but that was one of my favorite, that's one of my favorite memories of a trip that we had. And we went there as with him as a little guy, and I'd love to go back with him as an adult.
And you can visit that place you were talking about before, the autism-friendly tourist place, right?
I know. Yeah. I'm excited to read more about that.
Okay.
I think that's so forward-thinking, and I love it.
Well, I guess you have got your next place on the list to go then.
Yeah.
Okay. another sort of thing that I'm trying to do as sort of a part of this podcast is to make a sort of a travel ultimate mixtape of songs to listen to on the road. And so we're going to be making a Spotify playlist for this. So if you have maybe two or three songs that you'd like to listen to when you're traveling.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, let's see. Usually when we need a pick-me-up, it's always Earth, Wind, and Fire. So, and the favorite there is September. That's okay. The favorite song. And that's when, that's Zach. See, that has to go on there, number one, because he loves anything with a good beat.
Okay.
He loved that. Yeah. He'll also, one of Zach's other favorite groups, and this will make people laugh, I'm sure, is the Spice Girls. So, it's things from his childhood that he'll just never, ever let go of, you know? So there's some great Spice Girls songs too, that'll give you a good pickup. But if we want to mellow out a little bit, we love jazz. So a little Nora Jones with, and her Come Away With Me is pretty nice to, you know, sipping a Starbucks or a coffee to go and listening to a little jazz is great.
Or some Niagara ice wine, right?
That's right. That's yeah. Right.
Well, this is shaping up to be a great playlist. Good. Okay. So just in closing, yeah. You mentioned the website before, but once again, if you could tell everybody how they can get in touch via the website, maybe Facebook, etc.
The website is heartlandforest.org. So O-R-G. With Facebook and Instagram, if you just Heartland Forest, Niagara Falls, they'll both just pop up.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Great. And I'll put it on the website as well then.
That's great.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. And it's good talking to you again. And we'll have to do it again in another 20 years.
Okay. Not that long.
Okay.
Not that long.
Or maybe you have to come visit Japan then sometime.
Thanks, Josh. This was great.
Well, thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I encourage you to check out Heartland Forest Nature Experience in Niagara Falls and follow them online. Their website is www.heartlandforest.org. That's www.heartlandforest.org. They are also on the Accessible Travel Forum, so you can connect with them there as well. You too can join us on the Accessible Travel Forum, www.accessibletravelforum.com. The more users we have, the more useful the website will become. Be sure to ask questions and share your knowledge. You can also follow us on Twitter, at AccessibleTF. That's at AccessibleTF. Please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. Also, be sure to give it a 5-star rating in the iTunes store so that we can be discovered by more people. Speaking of the podcast, do you know somebody who might want to be interviewed? Or do you want to be interviewed? If so, then please contact us at podcast@accessibletravelforum.com. That's podcast@accessibletravelforum.com. Keep enjoying your travels. Hopefully we'll bump into each other on the way. Until next time, I'm Josh, and this is Have Disability, Will Travel.